KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Mike Island, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. The White House is offering guidance on COVID-19 vaccines for the holiday season. First Lady Jill Biden said the most important thing Americans can do is to get their updated COVID shot. A former Minneapolis police officer charged in a state case that's linked to the death of George Floyd is being sentenced. J. Alexander King was given 3.5 years behind bars for aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. The state sentence will run at the same time as the federal sentence he's serving. King is serving a 3-year federal sentence for violating Floyd's civil rights. A man who survived the mass shooting at a Colorado Springs LGBTQ club is out of the hospital. Staff lined the hallways yesterday applauding Ed Sanders as he was wheeled to the exit to go home. And that's the latest. I'm Mike Island from your 24/7 news source, the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
Has your household been hit with COVID-19? Learn about a research study from the comfort of home. We are looking at ways to help people with COVID-19 feel better faster. Learn more at activesickstudy.org/radio. That's activesickstudy.org/radio.
KBLA Talk 1580.
The thrill of victory. The thrill of victory. The thrill of victory.
Yeah, yeah. KBLA Talk 1580 wishes to congratulate Mayor-elect Karen Bass on her historic win as the first woman and only second African-American to serve as chief executive of the city of Los Angeles.
Congratulations, Mayor-elect Bass, and welcome back to unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And this is my very first interview, and I'm proud that it's here.
We are proud to have you here. What do you want to say to the listeners of KBLA Talk 1580?
I want to say thank you from just, you know, I'm just full of the love that I felt every place I went in the community. And I just want the listeners to know that I promise you I won't disappoint you. I will be accessible. I will never forget where I'm from, and understand that that is my primary motivation.
Congratulations, Mayor-elect Karen Bass, holding all leaders accountable to you.
No matter who you voted for, no matter who you are or where you live, I will be a mayor for you.
We're KBLA Talk 1580. And we don't black down. We've got a lot to talk about.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Good morning, KBLA Talk 1580 family. This is Reverend Gerald, your life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that show that comes on every Saturday morning that talks about all that stuff that we don't talk about enough within black households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the urban family, we bring attention to it and provide the resources and answers to your questions about it. Our goal is to make sure all of you who get up early with us on Saturday morning catch that worm. Wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation to live your best life. Speaking of living your best life, Sister Nawili tells us that the sky isn't the limit, but your belief system is. So tell your friends and family to download that KBLA 1580 app so they can listen anytime, anywhere. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Urban Family Focus, Twitter at Urban Fam Focus, and you can visit our website at urbanfamilyfocus.com. We've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580, and today we're circling back to a topic that many of our families have or will experience, dementia and Alzheimer's. And do you know the difference? Answering that question and any other question you may have on cognitive health care and preparation, as well as treatment, is Tia Delaney Stewart, a registered nurse with over 28 years in the healthcare industry. Tia holds a master's degree in nursing with an emphasis in education and is a certified clinical case manager. Tia is currently Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the local Alzheimer's Association. She is passionate and a dedicated advocate for the enhancement of healthcare services to the frail, the vulnerable, elderly members of our community. Tia collaborates with various organizations to design policies, procedures, regulations, and resources to improve the health-related outcomes of the marginalized and the underserved. Tia, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Reverend Gerald. I'm really excited about being here and for this opportunity.
And we're excited to have you here. You know, in November, it was National Caregivers Month, mm-hmm. and we talked a lot about a lot of caregivers and the things they went through, and Alzheimer's was a big topic during that time. So we're glad to have you here to talk about the difference, because there are people out there that think dementia and Alzheimer's is the same. They're not familiar with all the various types.
Right.
And we're just pleased that you're here. So tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are today and why you're so passionate about helping people with this disease.
Oh, wow. So thank you so much for that great introduction and reading parts of my bio. So I'm a registered nurse, and I really have worked in this industry in the community, like you said, for over 28 years. But it was in the last 10 years that I really began to work in the home health and hospice space, and really began to recognize that a lot of African Americans would come into the hospital or come see their clinicians when they were at the exacerbated stage of their disease, right? And so not when it was in the early stages, but the later stages. And so I realized that something was happening, and part of it was education about, you know, the progression of those diseases. And so a few years ago, before COVID, I decided I was going to make a difference, and I wanted to meet people where they were. And so I started to go out into the community to educate people about diseases, hypertension, diabetes, and then Alzheimer's disease as well. And so I began this journey going into places that Black men were, because they were those patients I were seeing the most at the chronic stages. And mm-hmm. one of those places were cigar lounges, and just setting up shop and doing education. During this journey, someone saw me and mentioned to me, you know, you should speak to someone at the Alzheimer's Association. And so fast forward, I became a volunteer for the Alzheimer's Association, a community educator. And now, just recently, I was hired on as the Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion for their California Southland chapter. So I'm super excited about this journey and super excited to be here in this space to educate our community about Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
So speaking specifically, you said you talked about other diseases as well, speaking specifically about Alzheimer's and dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, what is the difference?
Ooh, quickly. So let's say, to level set, you know, there is a huge difference between Alzheimer's disease versus dementia. And a lot of people don't really know the difference, even people in the medical field, because I didn't either. So dementia itself is not a disease, but rather a clinical term used to describe a loss of cognitive function that results in impairments with one's thinking, remembering, and reasoning. Dementia varies in severity, has a variety of underlying causes, and is sometimes reversible. And it may be treated with medication or other clinical interventions. But on the other hand, Alzheimer's disease is a disease that causes dementia-type symptoms. So our brain is comprised of about 100 billion neurons and trillions and synapses, and together they're working to send signals and are the basis of our memory, our thought, sensation, function, and skills. I mean, basically our brain is our hub, right? Mm-hmm. But with Alzheimer's disease, our brain begins to accumulate a type of amyloid plaque buildup that eventually interferes with our brain's ability to send necessary signals related to memory, behavior, reasoning. And so over time, the brain is compromised by chronic inflammation related to these toxic proteins stains and plaque, and this inflammation leads to shrinkage or atrophy of the brain and eventually brain cell death. This is why Alzheimer's disease is not reversible, progressively worsens, and unfortunately, until there is a cure, results in death. And so, although research shows that there are over 100 different types of dementia, with Alzheimer's accounting for 60 to 80% of all dementias, but I want our audience to remember that dementia and Alzheimer's disease are not a normal part of aging, because if so, then everyone would develop one of those, right?
Right.
So that's really basically the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia.
Well, I know for me, I have a little experience in the area. My mother and father both passed with dementia.
Wow.
And I remember talking to a practitioner back when my mom first got diagnosed, and they were telling me, you know, because I forget, you know, I can't think. You know, I know you. Seen you before, can't think of your name, you know, can't pull up a word sometime that you use all the time. And the clinician was telling me that, you know, when you can't find your keys, you know, you can't remember stuff, that's okay.
That's
part of aging.
I hope so.
But when you have your keys in your hand and don't know what they're for.
There you go.
That's something else.
Yes, yes. We look at it more so as when these cognitive impairments are affecting your daily activities of life. So it's not just that quick pause moment, but something that's really impeding you from doing the things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I know getting older, and I'm one of those who's closing in on that big 7-0. So, you know, I keep thinking about, you know, your parents, what, you know, what happened with them. And frankly, you know, there's some genetic stuff involved, you know, so, you know, for somebody like me, let's say, who's both parents, you know, that had dementia, although my dad was 98, my mom was 91, so they were here a long time, but they did have dementia both when they passed. Does that increase my chances or lessen my chances, or is it something I should be looking out for as little indicators?
Yeah, it definitely is something you should be aware of if it's a hereditary, but the greatest risk factor for developing Alzheimer's disease is age, not hereditary. So it's not like the BRCA gene with breast cancer, where if you have the BRCA gene, you're going to develop breast cancer.
Right.
If you have these EPOE3 and 4 genes, it does not definitely mean that you're going to develop Alzheimer's disease or dementia. And so we want people to understand that. It just means to understand that you do have that trait in your family and to be aware of it and to, you know, get screened by your physician.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to continue this conversation on Alzheimer's and dementia. And I know there's probably somebody listening, if statistics are correct, that it's either dealing with a family member, you know, that's getting close, or you might have to having some behavior changes that you want to have a question about. So just give us a call here at 800-920-1580. That's 800-920-1580. And Tia Delaney Stewart will answer that question for you when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy wife, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
At Cedars-Sinai, we're honored to be named the number one hospital in California and the number two hospital in the nation in U.S. News & World Report's Best Hospitals Honor Roll. We're also proud to be named number one in 6 specialties in Los Angeles. Thank you to our physicians, nurses, academic leaders, and thousands of other team members who bring their best to Cedars-Sinai every day. Learn more about our top-ranked care at cedars-sinai.org.
The Los Angeles Urban League helps African American and others in underserved communities achieve true social parity, economic self-reliance, and civil rights. For over 100 years, Los Angeles Urban League has ensured our communities have access to careers with living wages, opportunities to start and grow businesses, and clear pathways to personal and professional growth. Programs like BizCamp, Construction Career Academy, BAW Business Ready, and BWARP. The Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program are examples of the ongoing events designed to make our centennial mission to rebuild Black Wall Street right here in LA a reality. To sign up for our newsletter or to support the Los Angeles Urban League with your time, talents, and donations, visit laul.org. That's laul.org. The Los Angeles Urban League is a proud sponsor of Urban Family Focus Saturdays at 7 a.m. on KBLA Talk 1580.
Where do holiday happenings take over every aisle? Lowe's, actually. Right now, you'll save big on everything you need for the holiday season. Get up to 50% off select pre-lit Christmas trees and holiday living LED string lights. Plus, save on your gift list with up to 50% off select tools and accessories. The holidays are here, and so are the savings. Only at Lowe's. Offers valid through 12/14. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Okay, so here's the truth about December 17th and why you should register on DeonnaRamble.com. Okay, get ready. DeonnaRamble.com and why you should register for a free event about contracts, December 17th to be with me, Rambo, and my special guest. First of all, if you don't have a lot of contracts right now, you need to be there. Like, the whole new year is coming in. I've been doing these events for a while now. Every event has over 500 minority business owners there. So if you haven't attended, you need to attend. And if you have attended, you probably already started winning contracts because the event's free. December 17th is a Saturday. It's only for 2 hours. My special guest can only talk up to 6 minutes. And these are the mayor's office, LA County's talking about contracts, the city, DeonnaRamble.com. So if I haven't convinced you December 17th to come to DeonnaRamble.com and register, I really don't know what else to do. It's all about contracts. This DeonnaRamble.com, DeonnaRamble.com.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And this morning we're having a conversation about dementia and Alzheimer's. Do you know the difference? With Tia Delaney Stewart, who is a registered nurse. She's a certified clinical case manager, and she's director of diversity, equity, and inclusion for the local Alzheimer's Association here in our fair city. And we, before we came forward, we were talking about the differences between Alzheimer's and dementia. And we're going to continue with that conversation in just a second. But before we continue, Tia, give me a moment here because I have to let everybody know that the Urban Family Focus is presented by the Los Angeles Urban League. The Los Angeles Urban League is celebrating over 100 years of educating, empowering African Americans and other minorities to secure economic self-reliance, civil rights by providing targeted social programs, advocating for issues that benefit our community. The Los Angeles Urban League helps thousands of Angelenos annually through their programs focusing on education, entrepreneurship, job training, and placement. So you should follow them on Facebook and Twitter at LA Urban League or visit them at laul.org to find out more about their programs or to make a donation. So we're back, and just to pick up where we left off for clarity, is Alzheimer's a mental disorder or is it a physical disorder?
Oh, good question. So Alzheimer's disease is not a mental health disorder. And I repeat, it's not a mental health disorder. It's a neurological disease of the brain. So just like cirrhosis is a disease of the liver, Alzheimer's is a disease of the brain. However, there are so many mental health disorders such as depression, anxiety, and types of dementia that either manifest themselves and present as Alzheimer's disease or are comorbidities and symptoms related to one having Alzheimer's disease and are often misdiagnosed and in turn ineffectively treated. I mean, it's really important that our listeners know that Alzheimer's disease is the sixth leading death cause of death in the United States. And one in three seniors die with Alzheimer's or another dementia, and it kills more people than breast cancer and prostate cancer combined. And I don't know how many of our listeners are aware that Black people are twice as more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease or any other dementias than their white counterparts.
So why is that? I don't know how to really say this, but since I've been doing this program, we've talked about a number of health issues. And every time, we're always twice as likely. I don't care if it's diabetes, high blood pressure, whatever it is, it appears, you know, that statement always comes up, how much more likely we are than someone else. In your experience, why is that?
As a clinician. So as a clinician, there are several reasons and barriers to why African-Americans suffer from diseases more chronically than other populations. One has been access to resources, right? Systemic racism that permeates throughout all of our healthcare industry. The relationship we have with our physicians and clinicians, we don't have a lot of them that look like us. In fact, only 6% of registered nurses are African-American. Having the finances to pay for medical insurance in order to see those physicians at an earlier stage. So when we are, thinking we're seeing symptoms of hypertension or diabetes, going then and being assessed rather than when we're at a chronic exacerbated stage. Just mistrust of the healthcare system overall. Mm-hmm. Definitely plays a part of it. And then, we have a mindset that, we're African American and Black people get diabetes and we get hypertension, and we've bought into that mindset. Mm-hmm. And we really have to change that narrative, because you are not born hypertensive. Mm-hmm. Some people are born diabetic now, mm-hmm. but the most people who have diabetes have type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. So I think there are a lot of barriers, some that we can change personally, and some that really are rooted in systemic racism and the discrimination that we deal with on a daily basis.
Well, speaking of systemic racism and the things we've been through, I know in my field where I deal with a lot of people who are addicted, mm-hmm. and 70% of those people who are addicted also have a mental illness diagnosis. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you hear people say all the time that stress causes this and stress causes that. Well, I've come to understand that trauma mm-hmm. plays a huge role in mental health and addiction. So I'm just asking now, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. could that same trauma be a reason for some of these health issues that we are twice as likely? Because if you really think about it, in my opinion, mm-hmm. humbly, I don't believe there's anybody that has been through more trauma than African Americans in this country.
Right, right.
I mean, if you really think about it, you're a woman. You have a baby, and mm-hmm. a month later, it's sold to somebody
down
the road, and all the trauma and things that we faced. Is that a reason? I guess I'm asking you, am I way off base to think that trauma has something to do with us being more likely to have all of these diseases?
No, you are definitely on track, Reverend Gerald. In fact, the Alzheimer's Association put out recent research data that showed that African Americans have increased risk factors related to stress, mm-hmm. trauma, environmental factors. Those all contribute to the development of Alzheimer's disease and other chronic illnesses. So you are definitely on the right track, and research has proven this.
That's just what I came by. I said, if we should be all sick, we all should be crazy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. out of our minds with all the stuff we had to endure.
Right. So even though
we're twice as likely to attract Alzheimer's and a lot of these other diseases, when you look at what we have been through mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we look at where we are today as a whole and individually, We're amazing.
Yeah, we are.
In my
very
mind,
resilient.
I mean, we are amazing, because even though it's only 6% of you in the nursing field, I'm confident that the research would show that out of those 6%, we have some of the top nurses
there
in that
go.
Field. We have
there
some of the top
go.
Doctors, the top engineers. That whatever we are exposed to, mm-hmm. we excel to the top of the class.
Yes.
Because
we have to.
In spite of all that we've been through.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the reasons, too, is because we have to, in order to have our voices heard and have that seat at the table. You mentioned earlier, I have my master's, and I'm licensed as a public health nurse and certified clinical case manager. And I did those things because I knew that I was capable, but I knew it was necessary so that mm-hmm. people would listen, because mm-hmm. we suffer from so many diseases. And part of my goal is to change that narrative to where we're not in the top population of risk factors, right? We are the same. And part of that is education and understanding about those diseases, especially Alzheimer's disease. Changing the narrative and increasing awareness can change that the outcomes.
And I like that you include that word education, mm-hmm. and because that was my motivation for Urban Family Focus. If we don't talk about this stuff, if we don't just lay it all out on the table,
that's right.
Your son's addicted. Your daughter's got some mental health issues, mm-hmm. but
again, as Black folks, because we've been through so much, we tend to keep that stuff in house.
Yeah, yeah.
We tend to, it may get to the pastor, you know, and you know, he may pray for you. Mm-hmm. How it came to me. Mm-hmm. That's what motivated me, you know. But we have to start talking about it, because we do have experts in the field. We do have people that have done the work and have the answers. But if we don't come out of the closet, so to speak, of all of our maladies and start discussing them openly and honestly, then that road to, you know, dispelling that twice as likely is going to be just much longer to get to.
Right. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that I began this journey of education, because as I was working in the homes in African-American and Hispanic-American homes in L.A., I would see, you know, an elderly family member or another family member who I wasn't treating. And I knew there were some cognitive or mental issues going on with this client. And I'd say, so does your mom have Alzheimer's disease or dementia? Oh, no, my mom's just old and forgetful. And I'm like, has she been to a doctor? No, because we don't talk about it. Because we're like, we're so trained to think it's just part of aging, being forgetful, or we're embarrassed, right? And we don't want to have our business in the streets. You know, these are things that we've grown up to believe are the way that we should handle our health conditions. And we have to change that conversation.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to talk about Alzheimer's dementia, but you just brought something else to my mind. Ego. Plays a lot in it. You know, we've developed these egos, you know.
We're prideful people.
Grandma is like the everything to the family. Mm-hmm. She's directing everything. She's teaching everybody. She's handling the business. To see her in a vulnerable state is something we want to close our eyes to.
That's right.
We don't want to admit or accept that grandma is not this strong, can do everything. I talk to people all the time who brag about the fact that their grandmother is 95 years old, living by herself.
My grandma. My nana.
And that's great.
Yes.
That's great. But one thing I know from my own experience, and I'm sure you know from your experience, is when you're at that stage of life, the change can come in a day.
That's right.
It doesn't necessarily take 4 or 5 months for grandma to get to a point where she needs your help. It can happen instantaneously.
Yes.
So we have to stay on top of our elders. And I know they're the rock of the family, but, you know, that rock does start to
It begins to crumble. Yeah. I'm experiencing that with my nana, and I'm so glad you mentioned that, because it can happen overnight in a blink of an eye. As I said, age is the biggest risk factor related to Alzheimer's disease, and you see those changes, but you're not expecting them, because our grandparents are that resilient rock in our family, and so we don't want to think that they're having these challenges.
Right, right. So we're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia now. How many types? You know, I've done a little research, and I've seen things that say there's 7 types of dementia, there are 10 types of dementia. How many types
of
Alzheimer's is there out there? Or dementia, I should say.
Yeah, dementia. Mm-hmm. There are over about 100 different types of dementia, because as I mentioned, dementia is really a cognitive state of mind and problems with memory or functioning. And so this can be caused by a number of things. So you could have, you know, medication toxicity, right? Mm-hmm. Then you go to the doctor, they do some labs, they realize, you know, as we age, your metabolism slows down.
Right.
So maybe you need a lower dosing. They change the dosing, that confusion goes away. Mm-hmm. You can have a urinary tract infection, right? You go to your doctor, you get antibiotics and treatment, that level of dementia or confusion goes away. And then there's vascular dementia. Vascular dementia is a huge dementia that we see a lot in African-American communities. And in fact, it accounts for 10 to 40% of all dementias and is the third most prevalent type of dementia. And so vascular dementia is caused when there's a decrease of oxygenated blood to our brain. And so this decrease is related to cardiac issues such as stroke, heart attack, high cholesterol, and it's also strongly affected by diabetes related vascular issues. And so some of us may have encountered a diabetic who has had a toe removed and then a foot and then the lower part of their leg, right? Mm-hmm. And these amputations are happening because of impaired circulation or blood flow to that lower extremity, which is causing cell and tissue death of an affected limb. Well, that same cell death is happening in one's brain, but you just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So although our brain is only 2% of our body weight, 25% of our blood with each heartbeat is sent to the brain.
Right.
So therefore, when blood vessels that carry oxygenated blood to our brain are impaired, our cognitive function is impacted. So why is it important to talk about vascular dementia? It's because cardiovascular diseases such as hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes are more prevalent in the Black community. Therefore, if we can improve our cardiovascular health by addressing these modifiable risk factors, then we can possibly minimize or delay our risk of developing vascular dementia, Alzheimer's disease, or even mixed dementia by up to 40%. So as we say at the Alzheimer's Association, what's good for your heart mm-hmm. is good for your brain.
Exactly, exactly. And people forget that even though that brain is you know, it's everything.
Right.
It's everything. All the stuff that's going on in your body, you know, blood flowing, heartbeat, and your pancreas, your liver, mm-hmm. everything is doing what mm-hmm. it does. It's getting a signal from the brain.
Because of the brain.
And we're going to continue to talk about the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia when we come forward here on Urban Family Focus.
More of KBLA Talk 1580's all-new weekend lineup when we come forward.
I'm Mike Island, and here's the latest from the Black Information Network. The White House is offering guidance on COVID-19 vaccines for the holiday season. First Lady Jill Biden said the most important thing Americans can do is to get their updated COVID shot. A former Minneapolis police officer charged in a state case that's linked to the death of George Floyd is being sentenced. J. Alexander King was given 3.5 years behind bars for aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. The state sentence will run at the same time as the federal sentence he's serving. King is serving a 3-year federal sentence for violating Floyd's civil rights. A man who survived the mass shooting at a Colorado Springs LGBTQ club is out of the hospital. Staff lined the hallways yesterday applauding Ed Sanders as he was wheeled to the exit to go home. And that's the latest. I'm Mike Island from your 24/7 news source, the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
Has your household been hit with COVID-19? Learn about a research study from the comfort of home. We are looking at ways to help people with COVID-19 feel better faster. Learn more at activesickstudy.org/radio. That's activesickstudy.org/radio.
KBLA Talk 1580.
The thrill of victory. The thrill of victory. The thrill of victory.
Yeah, yeah.
KBLA Talk 1580 wishes to congratulate Mayor-elect Karen Bass on her historic win as the first woman and only second African-American to serve as chief executive of the city of Los Angeles.
Congratulations, Mayor-elect Bass, and welcome back to unapologetically progressive KBLA Talk 1580.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And this is my very first interview, and I am proud that it's here.
We are proud to have you here. What do you want to say to the listeners of KBLA Talk 1580?
I want to say thank you from just, you know, I'm just full of the love that I felt every place I went in the community. And I just want the listeners to know that I promise you I won't disappoint you. I will be accessible. I will never forget where I'm from and understand that that is my primary motivation.
Congratulations, Mayor-elect Karen Bass, holding all leaders accountable to you.
No matter who you voted for, no matter who you are or where you live, I will be a mayor for you.
We're KBLA Talk 1580.
KBLA Talk 1580.
Talk 1580. And we don't black down.
Black down.
Black down. We've got a lot to talk about.
Central Neighborhood Health Foundation is a full-service network of federally qualified health care centers that serves local communities throughout Los Angeles, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. CNHF clinics provide low-cost to no-cost, compassionate, comprehensive, quality health care, which includes primary care services for chronic disease and diabetes management, pediatric and women's services, preventive care, vision and dental screenings, COVID-19 testing and vaccines, flu vaccines, behavioral health, HIV and substance use services. Virtual telehealth visits are available from the comfort of your home with highly qualified physicians and medical professionals. CNHF also provides peer support specialist training and help with housing navigation. Central Neighborhood Health Foundation. Your wellness is our priority. Comprehensive care built on trust and respect. For more information, visit cnhfclinics.org or call 213-536-5815 today to to locate a clinic near you.
Congratulations to Trinity Unlimited Child Care for being KBLA Talk 1580's Office of the Week. Enter your business today in the KBLA app or KBLA1580.com for the Office of the Week. Congratulations to Trinity Unlimited Child Care.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you.
Ain't Too Proud is a celebration that brings the audience to its feet.
Ain't too proud to be, as you know it.
The Grammy-winning songs, the Tony-winning moves. Ain't Too Proud, the life and times of the Temptations. Returning to the Amundsen December 13th. Tickets at AmundsenTheater.org.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a whole lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, reminding you when we fight, we win. Asian Americans Advancing Justice is the nation's largest legal and civil rights organization for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. Founded in 1983 as the Asian Pacific American Legal Center, Advancing Justice LA serves more than 15,000 individuals and organizations every year. Their mission is to advocate for civil rights, provide legal services and education, and build coalitions to positively influence and impact Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders, and to create a more equitable and harmonious society. To volunteer, make a donation, or seek assistance, visit advancingjustice-la.org. That's advancingjustice-la.org. Or call 888-349-9695. 888-349-9695. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith,
a spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation about dementia and Alzheimer's with Tia Delaney Stewart, registered nurse, certified clinical case manager, and director of diversity, equity, and inclusion for Alzheimer's Association. And before we went forward, we're talking a lot about, you know, dementia and how it affects us and why it affects us. But, you know, there's also different stages to this disease.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the stages and the symptoms and things that we should look out for to identify where our loved one may be as far as progress with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Okay, so when we describe the progression of Alzheimer's disease, we describe it in three stages. So some say mild, moderate, severe, some say early, middle, or late. So with the early stage of Alzheimer's disease, people are still participating, right, in their day-to-day activities. They're going to work, they're going to school, they're driving, but you're noticing something is off, maybe in conversations or their actions. Maybe they're repeating themselves or asking the same question over and over again. They have a decreased ability to focus and concentrate in doing simple tasks like running errands. It is often within that early or mild stage that even those mental health symptoms of depression, anxiety, and dementia may present themselves. Since the understanding and awareness of Alzheimer's disease in the Black community is minimal at best, those who are suffering are often treated with medications and interventions appropriate for a mental health disorder. And while these medications and interventions may help to address the immediate behaviors, in reality, they are only masking an underlying diagnosis and delaying a patient's ability to receive the appropriate and clinical necessary care planning for the inevitable cognitive and physical deterioration that would begin to present itself with stages 2 and 3 of Alzheimer's disease. So as one progresses through that mild stage into the moderate stage of the disease, the signs of cognitive and physical impairment are more obvious and present themselves in a variety of ways. And it's important to know that the person dealing with Alzheimer's disease is also really aware that they are experiencing issues related to their memory, thinking, behaviors, and functional abilities. So a common response at this stage is social withdrawal. And so sometimes these cognitive impairments combined with social withdrawal can be misdiagnosed as late onset bipolar disease or late onset schizophrenia. But really, the withdrawal is not the sign of a late onset mental health disorder, but most often related to the fact that the person is losing their ability to articulate their thoughts and find the right words to express their feelings and remember recent events or important responsibilities that they're being held accountable for.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you said that, because so often I've talked to people whose parents may be going through something or grandmothers going through something, and they relate it to a mental illness situation.
Yeah.
And there may be, you know, grandpa might have liked to sip a little bit. you know what I'm saying? There may be some things that, you know, they know about their loved one. So when they start to fail cognitively, they go different places to try to figure out what's going on and don't identify it as a dementia, Alzheimer's situation. Therefore, they don't go to the doctor right away.
Exactly.
They don't get that diagnosis. So
exactly.
Knowing what these early, what these stages are and what to look for. So just, you know, real talk, basic, you know, what should my parent be doing that causes me to say, I need to take them to get that that memory check.
That first check, right. Yeah. So at the Alzheimer's Association, that is really key to us. We really focus on early detection and awareness and early diagnoses. And so when we look, we have a whole presentation called 10 Warning Signs of Alzheimer's Disease. And one thing we talk about are things that are impairing your day-to-day activities. So it's not just I forgot something, but how is this forgetfulness impeding your everyday activities? So maybe you notice when you go to your loved one's home that you notice bills are piling up, and this is the person who pay their bills all the time, and now you're noticing they're piling up, or with your loved one, your spouse, you know, you're noticing late fees on these bills, and they're just forgetting to do things that they've done all the time. Maybe it's taking them longer to get dressed for church, right? And so normally they're up, they're at home, they're dressed, and now they're looking a little more disheveled, right? Or you see that person in your congregation whose sweater is buttoned a little differently, and they were a sharp dresser, but now their clothes are not matching, shirt's not tucked in, you know, you're like, maybe something's going on with, you know, John over here in the congregation.
Right.
They also begin to repeat themselves. And I know often we say, oh, my gosh, I just told you that, Mom, you know. Mm-hmm. And you realize they're asking you something over and over again. And we think, oh, they're just getting older and they're forgetting. But they're really confused as to what your answer was 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, forgetting appointments. So if you're noticing those type of changes and also their ability to what I call recall, retrace, and remember,
right,
then at the Alzheimer's Association, we encourage a clinical assessment. Go see a doctor and find out what's going on, because it doesn't have to be Alzheimer's disease, right?
Right. That recall, retrace, and remember.
That's right.
You know, I'm feeling that one already. But as you were talking, you may have noticed I had a smile on my face, and that's because what you were saying, I have actually witnessed.
Gotcha.
You know, there was a gentleman, when I got my first job as a young man, 23, 24 years old, he was like a mentor. He was everything. He was a sharp dresser, you know, done well for himself. And when I started making money, he said, son, I'm going to tell you how to save money. He says, this was before cell phones and all that. Get you a little notepad and write down every time you spend some money. I don't care if it's 25 cents in a bubble gum machine. Just write it down. And then at the end of the month, go back and you'll see where you had spent money you didn't need to spend, and you could start saving that money. I mean, he literally taught me that as a young man, and it helped me throughout my life. But as he got older, when he passed away, I did his service not a few years ago, a couple of years ago. He hadn't paid his taxes in years, and the government took his apartment. He owned apartment buildings, took his apartment buildings away, you know. But he didn't go see anybody. He just wasn't paying his taxes. So by the time we discovered it, it was too late. So that's an example of what you're talking about, as far as how you can go through these changes. And my mom, I've told this story before. The listeners are probably tired of hearing it.
Oh, sure,
but my mom
not.
Was that sharp dresser. And when I knew it was time and something was going on, I took her to a play. And when we got to the play, I looked and saw she had on mismatched earrings, and you know, her stockings weren't quite right. And I said, no, this ain't my mom.
It's not your mom, right?
You know, so that was the first sign that like something is up.
Right. Well, that's wonderful, Reverend Gerald, that you were keenly aware of those changes in your mom, because some of us are not, or some of us ignore them because it's hard to face that our loved ones are getting older or have some type of neurological disorder going on, you know, something going on with their brain, becoming forgetful, or possibly have Alzheimer's disease or another type of dementia. So I'm glad that you're bringing that awareness to the audience.
Yeah, and the thing I want the audience to know is yeah, they're tough. Yeah, they're strong. But when they get, you know, into the late 80s, early 90s, stay close. Pay attention.
Pay attention.
Spend some time, you know.
Right,
and invite them over for the weekend if you have to. And just, you know, notice their, you know, everyday behavior.
Yeah.
Because grandma and grandpa, they're trying to hold their own, too.
That's right.
So when you just come visit for a couple of hours, they may look to be like everything is everything.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I say that to people often, is when someone knows that they are dealing with some of these struggles mentally, they are afraid of losing their independence. So if you're around them just a short period of time, they're trying their best to put on their best face, right? But you need to watch that person over a period of time, because we think about safety. You know, are they safe still cooking? Are they safe still driving? You know, these impairments affect our elderly persons, and sometimes they don't have to be elderly, but they're affecting our cognitive behaviors, our functioning, our ability to know, you know, how far do I need to stop between the light turning yellow to red? And so we really need to assess what's going on with that person and get them, you know, to a clinician and find out, you know, if they have dementia, some other type of neurological issues going on, or if it is Alzheimer's disease.
It's something that we all are going to face at some point in time, you know, with a loved one, if not with our immediate family, somebody we know. It could be a neighbor. It could be anybody. But I'm glad you're here today and sharing this information with us, because these are the kinds of things we can't talk about too much.
Exactly.
You know, people need to know. And I know there's somebody out there that wants to call 800-920-1580, but, you know, they haven't yet. But we're going to leave you with some information where you can find out how to get in touch with the Alzheimer's Association.
Yes.
So we're going to continue our conversation when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy wife, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
The state task force is getting closer to identifying what reparations will look like in California. Maisha Cairo here with your K Black Minute News, brought to you by CaliforniaBlackMedia.org. The California task force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans will be conducting its last meeting of 2022 on December 14th and 15th at Oakland City Hall Chambers, beginning at 9 a.m. with time for public comment. Meetings will be live streamed on the task force website or on ETM Media YouTube. Task Force Chairperson Kamala Moore says that the next meeting is of high importance and will include an in-depth conversation about redress and repair. So far, the task force has determined a conservative estimate of 2 million African Americans in California who have ancestors that were enslaved here in the U.S. They are still determining what or how much compensation should be. Let's start the conversation on social media pages at KBLA 1580.
DeonRambo.com. That's me. I am Rambo, teaching you about contracts at the Westin Hotel December 17th. That's coming up December 17th. It's all free, sponsored by Lindustry. Listen, this is important. When you go to DeonRambo.com, you'll see I have LA County coming, the mayor's office coming, the city coming, prime contractors coming, everyone, and they can only talk for 6 minutes each. I take contracting very serious. You should too. DeonRambo.com. See you December 17th. DeonRambo.com.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Where do holiday happenings take over every aisle? Lowe's, actually. Right now, you'll save big on everything you need for the holiday season. Get up to 50% off select pre-lit Christmas trees and holiday living LED string lights. Plus, save on your gift list with up to 50% off select tools and accessories. The holidays are here, and so are the savings. Only at Lowe's. Offers valid through 12/14. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Find a righteous rage and don't be afraid to say what you see. We're KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia. Do you know the difference with registered nurse, certified clinical care manager, and director of diversity, equity, and inclusion for the Alzheimer's Association, Tia Delaney Stewart? And we're going to continue to talk a little bit about it, but I see we do have a caller on line one. Liz, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to talk to you guys. So my mom is 98. Well, she'll be 98 on the 14th. So, but she contracted West Nile virus encephalitis about 10 years ago. And so that changed her cognitive activity level. Mm-hmm. And since then, the doctor does say that she has early signs of dementia. But, you know, she's declined. After the West Nile virus, she had to relearn everything. She had to relearn how to walk. It was really difficult. But at any rate, I'm just wondering, because she has Kaiser, and they unfortunately are not offering her any help for the dementia. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if there's someplace else that I should reach out to in order to try to get her any kind of medication to help.
Okay. Well, thank you, Liz, for calling. And I'm really sorry to hear about your mom, but she sounds very resilient and as she has persevered through a lot of health challenges. Yes, you can reach out to the Alzheimer's Association. We have a helpline and they can do care coordination with you. And so they can help connect you with some other resources for some diagnostic testing and screening and see what your mom is eligible for. So you can give us a call at 800-272-3900. That's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and ask for a care consultation. Let them know what you're experiencing, that your mom does have Kaiser insurance, and you're really looking for some other type of diagnostic testing to see where your mom currently is and what other resources are available for her in the community.
Thank you for the call, Liz, and I wish you the best with your mom, and I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
Yeah, I do too.
All right.
So, Tia, before we run out of time here, because we're getting close to the end, when we notice those signs, what should be the first steps? You know, Liz reached out to us. Mm-hmm. What steps should they take?
So, you know, if you're noticing the signs in someone that you love, the thing I advise people to do is to pause and take a break before you address it. Because a lot of times we want to be accusatory and say, Mom, you know, you're being so forgetful. Or Grandpa, I noticed you're A, B, or C. You need to pause, take a break, and really start writing down what you have seen so that you can go back to your loved one and say, hey, I've noticed you've been repeating yourself often for the last 3 months, or you've been coming to church disheveled for the last couple of weeks. And then work with them and going out to see a physician and getting assessed for a diagnosis. A diagnosis is so important. So working with your loved one, or if it's yourself, finding someone you trust that can go with you to get that diagnostic test. Because again, it doesn't have to be Alzheimer's disease. It can be a number of things that are affecting your cognition. But knowing what is going on with you is step one in preparing for the future, especially if it is Alzheimer's disease or another type of dementia.
And the last point, we got a minute here, I want you to make is, you know, what can they do to minimize these factors? Is there anything we can... eating habits we can change.
There's a lot of modifiable risk factors, and I know we're pressed for time. Mm-hmm. So what I do encourage people to do is always think about diet and exercise, right? Getting up and moving. If there's one thing you can do, the Alzheimer's Association says it's moving, it's exercise. So getting out and moving, even if you're in your home and you're just doing laps or you're just moving your arms, you know, walking around the sofa, but that increases that cardiovascular health and that circulatory health. Thinking about we are what we eat, so looking at our diet and making sure it's low in fat, low in sodium, low in cholesterol, and then thinking about those cognitive memory things we can do. Research shows that cognitive stimulation, so learning new things, new hobbies, you know, new languages, engaging in social activities, all these things that are stimulating for our brain are good for our minimizing our risk for developing Alzheimer's disease. So thinking about what you're doing physically, nutritionally, and cognitively with stimulation. The other thing I really stress in our community is if you are hypertensive or diabetic, to continue to take those medications as prescribed, monitoring your numbers, and following up with your physicians for those annual exams to see your baseline and to know where you are.
Thank you so much for that. We're going to wrap up our conversation with Tia Delaney Stewart, Certified Clinical Case Manager, when we come forward here on Urban Family Focus.
You're listening to the all-new Weekend Lineup of enlightening, encouraging, and empowering talk shows. Exclusively on KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
At Cedars-Sinai, we're honored to be named the number one hospital in California and the number two hospital in the nation in U.S. News & World Report's Best Hospitals Honor Roll. We're also proud to be named number one in six specialties in Los Angeles. Thank you to our physicians, nurses, academic leaders, and thousands of other team members who bring their best to Cedars-Sinai every day. Learn more about our top-ranked care at cedars-sinai.org.
Congratulations to the Los Angeles Norwalk Courthouse. They are this week's KBLA Talk 1580's Office of the Week. The Los Angeles Norwalk Courthouse, and part of the Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles. Congratulations.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
Hi, Maisha Cairo here, KBLA, live at Chase Bank on Crenshaw and Vernon for the In This Together tour with female business owners, a day of empowerment, community panels, and best of all, tips on building business from marketing to capital. I'm here with Lisa Stevens, senior business consultant with Chase for Business. Lisa, what's one tip you'd give to business owners here in the Crenshaw area?
I love that you ask that question. I'm originally from Brooklyn, and I grew up in an area that's very similar to Crenshaw. So this is near and dear to my heart. And if I could only leave a business owner with one, just one, I would tell the business owner to identify their why. And I think that is so important because your why is going to be that strength on those days where you feel like you're struggling. Your why is going to be that stepping stone. Those days that you want to give up, your why is going to be the reason that you get back up.
And how would you advise business owners looking to acquire capital? What do they need to know before stepping inside the branch to ask for funding?
So three things. I do want to share this when it comes to the power of capital and just finding those resources. Understand that capital is a three part of a business, right? It's not always about the monetary piece, but if you first put that intellectual, right, what do I need to know? That social, who I need to know, that will help you to then package for that monetary piece. So no matter who you're banking with, you should know your banker. Never walk into a bank and you're transactional only.
It's just like Lisa to drop gems. I'm Maisha Cairo in the community for KBLA with JP Morgan Chase.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or
thickening of your bowel wall. If you're allergic to pork or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints, call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Thanks for spending some quality time with us and checking out the new weekend talk shows only on KBLA Talk, KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach, addiction counselor, and we're wrapping up our conversation on dementia and Alzheimer's with Tia Delaney Stewart. And she's going to give us some information that is important of what's going on with Alzheimer's. But before she does that, I want to remind you that Urban Family Focus is brought to you by Cedars-Sinai. Cedars was named number one hospital in California and number two in the nation by U.S. World Reports. Learn more about their top-ranked care at cedars-sinai.org. We got 1 minute. Tell us something that the Alzheimer's Association needs us to know.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate the opportunity to educate our community. So if you want information about Alzheimer's disease, all things Alzheimer's, our support systems, resources, reach out to us at 800-272-3900. That's our 24/7 support line. Or you can go to alz.org. Also, we are having an amazing play that's coming to town January 14th, 2023. It's a collaboration with the Alzheimer's Association and Garrett Davis, who is an award-winning stage play director. It's called Unforgettable. Tickets are free. I repeat, free for the community. And to get those tickets, you can log on to unforgettableplay.com or you can give me a call at 323-486-3012.
Thank you for that. See you next week.